God. And just as a preface, I'm just going to lay a little foundation of some things that we've talked about in case you weren't here. And I do encourage you to go online and listen to those messages, not so that you'll get it in your head, but you'll get it in your heart. Okay? Hearing God is a personal relationship. It's not about knowing what to do. That's old covenant. If hearing God is knowing what to do, then knowing what to do is likely your God. But hearing God is knowing a person. I hear my wife Bonnie not so that I'll know what to do. I want to hear her. She wants to hear me. We love each other. We're in a personal relationship. God wants a personal relationship with His family, and His family is humanity. And so He doesn't want a relationship to like a master to slaves that tells you what to do. He's a father. He even wants us to pray that way. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Now, when He speaks to us, He speaks to our spirits. He speaks to your spirit, which is your heart, your inner person. And when it does, it unites your spirit to your soul. It gives you correct desires. It comes from inside of you. The voice of God gives you correct emotions. It gives you correct reasonings and imaginations and thoughts. It doesn't shut those things down. It actually causes you as a human being, spirit, soul, and body, to come alive. The clearer your heart is to the voice of God, the healthier you'll be in life, even when you're sick. In other words, you don't have to be sick and have a sick attitude. You can have a healthy attitude even when you're battling things that human beings go through, which we do. We're not out of the will of God when we go through things. It's called life. And when we live in this life, this world on this side of glory, yet in this part of the journey of God increasing His glory, even in the earth, we're at a place of limitation. But we should know the goodness of God in increasing measures, and it comes from hearing God. So hearing God is about knowing who God is. It's about knowing who we are. It's transformational. It's not informational. And hearing God allows the kingdom of God and His will to come into our lives. So what is our focus in hearing? Well, first of all, our perspective of who God is will affect our ability to hear Him correctly. I find it quite interesting because I minister all over the globe, and I've got people who are, I believe that we're in a present move of the Spirit where God is, He's neither into legalism nor is He into promiscuity. He loves choices, but He doesn't love choices for the case of carnal anarchy. He loves choices because love only really works when there's nothing but choice. Did you hear what I said? He loves choices because love only works when there's nothing but choice. When everybody's obligated, we can call that love, but a lot of times that's prison. Example, I'm not accountable to my wife, I'm in love with her. And that looks from the outside, if you look at the relationship of my wife and I, it looks like we're accountable to one another. That's what it looks like. But we have something stronger than accountability. We have intimacy, relationship. We love each other, and that looks like we're accountable. My hand looks like it's accountable to my wrist, but the truth is, it's attached. And it understands that it's one with my wrist, and my wrist is one with my hand, and that's not a threat because my hand is not in danger of becoming a wrist, nor is my wrist in danger of becoming a hand. The relationship makes each become who they are. But it's not an obligation. It's a privilege. It's life. So hearing God is a privilege. It's a relationship. It's not coming. So now, my view of God, if I believe that God is a master, then I'm going to hear Him the way a slave hears Him. I do a tweet every day, and I write blogs, and I'm, quite a few people follow me these days. And it's interesting because I have some people who are legalistic and some people who are very promiscuous, you might consider. And so in the sense of they have freedoms that might be more than what you would expect, and others have law more than the freedoms would expect. And I'm not here to judge either of those. I'm here to be in relationship and bring the voice of God. But it's interesting, when I say something, they both hear very often something different. And they both get excited about what I say. And the truth is, I didn't say what either one of them thought I said. And you know, it's the same way with God. What you view God to be will determine how you hear him. If you see him as a master, you'll hear him as a slave. If you see him as angry, when he speaks to you, you'll hear him as angry. And when he says, I want you to seek me, what you'll hear is, seek me or I'll kill you. But he didn't say, seek me or I'll kill you. He said, seek me. But you thought he was angry. So you heard, seek me or I'll die. Our view of God. So it's important that we learn who he is. That's a family thing. Okay, now, also our focus in life. And that's what I'm talking about in this session. And I want us to go to a common scripture in Matthew 6. And we're going to look at just a few verses, beginning at verse 22, and we'll skim on down through. You could read the whole thing in your own time, verse 22, all the way through the end of this chapter, and you would see a focus for hearing God. You see, if our focus is correct, when God speaks, we'll hear him more accurately. Okay, in this chapter, he says, the lamp is the body of the eye, and if therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Modern English, that's simply saying, what are you looking at? Whatever you're looking at, whatever your expectations are, is what's going to be the filter of how you're going to hear in your heart. If you're expecting the world to become bad, then when God speaks to you, it's going to confirm that the world's becoming bad. If you're expecting to see sin, then you're going to hear God's voice in the realm of seeing sin. But if you see a good God who loves people, then when you hear him, you're going to hear a good God who loves people. You got to look at things from the roundabout end. Example, right now, you hear a lot about Islam and ISIS, and you see terrible things that are going on in the sense of Christians are being persecuted, which is nothing new. That's been going on for a long time. You want to know about persecution? Ask your mama. You were birthed in persecution. It was very troubled to get the church birthed in the first century. Okay? But did you know? You know what the largest people group right now that are coming to Christ? You know who they are? Muslims. More Muslims are coming to Jesus than any other people group right now. Because one thing. They're trying to touch a God who is good. And you know what? He's good. So they're having visitations of Jesus. I know a friend who works totally, fully with the Islamic world, and he estimates there's 1 million per month coming to Christ right now. And he personally works with several churches in Pakistan that are seeing several hundred thousand per month. I talked with a mainline denominational minister the other day that I pray with when I'm home, and he was saying that in Syria, they have hundreds of Muslims per month coming to Christ in their churches. So I could look with my eye at what I see naturally, or I could look with my heart with what I expect. God can take what the enemy intends for evil and turn it for good. But if we look at what the enemy intends for evil and we say, oh, God can't turn this, I'm not having my eye in the correct focus. This chapter continues to go on, and it basically says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, and don't worry about what you're going to wear. And then it uses an illustration in these verses about birds of the air and flowers of the field. And it says they don't worry, but their life is fulfilled. And it says about birds, they don't gather and they don't have barns, but God takes care of them. I like those verses because I believe it says something about humanity. I believe it says something about humanity because the illustration is a creature that doesn't gather and doesn't have barns is taken care of. Did you know that you are a creature who should gather and should have barns? But many human beings live for their personal houses, their personal needs, their personal comforts. It was very interesting last night as I watched the boxing fight. And, I've got to say that, Mayweather is a classic human being who hasn't found love. He's a great boxer. Well, he's a great dancer, but obviously he's been a great boxer to get where he's at. He did a lot of dancing last night, but and Huggy Bear, he's got a Huggy Bear thing. But when they interviewed him, why he boxes? You know, they interviewed Pacquiao why he boxes, and he says I was a nobody, and he admits that he was a failure, a drunk, but he came off the street, and he says. He gives all the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ for raising him up and making him who he is. And so he loves God. So he boxes for the glory of God. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that's none of your business. That's his business. But he takes the platform to give credit to God, saying, God has blessed me. I was nothing, I had nothing. Now I count everything that I am and everything I have to the Lord Jesus. And he boldly says it from the platform. And then you got a guy like Mayweather that they interview him and said, why do you box? I box for me. I box for the money. I box so that I will be famous. So me, me, me. Now I can't condemn him for that. He's a classic human wannabe. He's a human who hasn't found the place of being. So he is looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay? And that, you know, when you're in that place, you do end up in a ring of life where you just dance and do Huggy Bear things. And so I'm hoping that maybe Mayweather will find the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that Pacquiao loves. But he's a classic human being, human wannabe, looking for love in the wrong places. And, you know, so he's concerned with what he's going to wear, what he's going to eat. You think, well, he has all kinds of money. How would he be concerned with that? Well, I think he's concerned with giving each of his kids $50 million or something, and because they've got to have enough to survive. I had to have to adjust my lifestyle. Just a little. But it says, don't worry, but it says the birds of the air, they don't worry, but they don't have barns. And then the clincher is found in verse 31. Don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things, Gentiles, or people who don't know God, seek. Now, I can't judge them for that. They don't know God. It doesn't say, don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or what you wear, because people who worry about what they eat, what they drink, and what they wear are shameful, nasty, disgusting creatures that God hates. No, they're lost human wannabes who haven't found love in the right place. They haven't figured it out. They're not even as smart as a bird or a flower yet. Or maybe I should say they're too smart for their own britches. See, a bird is not too smart, neither is a flower too smart. They just live. And hearing God is about living. Hearing God is about being in a right relationship so that you come alive every day. And if you're alive, what will come off of you for the sake of the world that you live in is life. Okay? And then it says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those things shall be added to you. Now, it doesn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and being right. It doesn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and being right. If you think that's righteousness, then you're going to measure everybody by the fact that you're right, and that means they're wrong. And then when you hear God, he's speaking to you, and he's not talking to you about who's right and who's wrong, but you're hearing they're wrong, because you think it says seek first the kingdom of God and being right. The wrong tree is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of right and wrong. There's a better tree called the tree of life. And when you understand the tree of life, you understand the focus is he is life, everything else isn't. So it's life and death. So seek first the one who has life. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first bringing life. So our focus has to be the kingdom of God. Now, for reference, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, barns are supply houses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your first fruits and with all of your possessions. So it talks about honoring God with the things that you possess, with the first things that come into your life, whether that be your finances or your thoughts or your emotions or your attitude or your dreams or your vision or your business or your family, whatever you possess, honor God with it. And if you do that, it says your barns will be full and your vats will overflow. Now, your barn, many of you have heard me say this before because I've talked about barns and vats here before when I've come. But I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin, and we had barns. We had grain barns. We had dairy cow barns. We had young stock, livestock barns. We had a chicken barn. We had a hog barn. We had lots of barns, and none of our barns were collecting houses. You know, we were collecting cows. We collected black and white cows. They were nice. We collected them because they were really nice. They were vintage black and white Holstein cows. Like this one because the spots, that was nice. Let's get one of those and collect it and put it in our barn. Oh, we found out that there were people in our community that drank milk and they liked butter and they liked cheese, and so we decided to get something that was that would utterly do the job. No, we decided to get something that would fit the bill. So we got animals that would provide an export of the products that they wanted. So the whole purpose that we had a farm was to provide goods to others. Now, that provided for us, but it also provided goods for others. If you honor God with the things that you possess, your thoughts, do you possess your thoughts or do your thoughts possess you? If you honor the Lord with the things that you possess, your thoughts, your attitude, your focus, your decisions, your conclusions, your judgments. Oh, you can't judge. Well, I can judge as long as my judgment honors God. But if my judgment doesn't honor God, if my judgment hurts people, if my judgment kills people, if my judgment hates people, if my judgment hates God, if my judgment hates me, that's not a judgment that honors God. I can't do that. But I can make judgments. I'm not going to jump off a tall building because I've made a judgment. If I jump off a tall building, I will die. So I made the judgment. I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to die. Because the dead don't praise God, so I'm not going to do that. So my focus, so that my barns and my vats, that's my bread and my wine, something that makes people, other people come alive, something that gives life to them. Okay? So now, how do I, at the same time, I seek the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God has to do with barns. The kingdom of God has to do with vats, my supply that comes from my honor of the things I possess, the things that come to me first. And then the Bible says that the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So seek first the kingdom of God. Righteousness is not being right. That worked out, I know, being right, that's how you came to Jesus, wasn't it? You were right. Remember, you were struggling in life, and finally you became right. And then God loved you. No, you fell to pieces, chances are. I said yesterday that I'm 42 years old, and I'm not correct. I'm 43 years old this next week. Week from Tuesday, I'll be 43 in Christ, 43 years old. I'm a little older than 43 in the natural, but in the spirit, I'm 43 years old. And so in my 6 decades on planet Earth, I did it right for 4 decades and 3 years. I came to Jesus 43 years ago, but when I came to him, I wasn't right. I was guilty of being wrong, but I found righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And it was this: God, you're my God. He passed over my sins. And he adopted me. He revealed to me that I am a child of God. And you know, he didn't have a problem with me before I came to him. I had a problem with him. Sin prevented me from seeing him. It didn't prevent him from seeing me. Sin prevented me from loving him. It didn't prevent him from loving me. When I was an idiot, he loved me. When I was hating him, he loved me. Sin didn't prevent God from loving me. Sin didn't prevent God from loving you. So how can sin prevent you from loving others? No, sin prevents them from loving you. Sin prevented me from loving God. It didn't prevent God from loving me. My goodness, he had plans and thoughts, and he believed in who I was when I was an idiot. He had good things to say about me when I was bad. When I was running from him, he likely said things like this: I believe in that guy. I've got thoughts for his future. Okay, the kingdom of God is righteousness. Peace is where there's no gap between you and God. And again, God is not the one who had the gap. You are the one who had the gap. Your sin prevented you from coming to him, not because he doesn't dare touch sinners. No, it's because when he touches sin, it burns up. And so you got to let go of what burns up, or it'll get really hot when you come to him. And joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is not just an exciting emotion. It's a position. It's a place of living with God where there's the fullness of joy. And sometimes it's filled with tears. So, if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has to do with what comes to others, we're talking about hearing God. I'm going to give us some practical foundations for hearing God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, because I want you to stop trying to hear God, and I want you to start living on the proper focus and foundation that allows you to hear God. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So I'm going to tell you, you try too hard to hear God, and if you learn to live in the right place, you'll hear God very easily. Okay? So here's a place. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. So being anxious is a terrible foundation for hearing God. You won't hear God correctly if you're anxious. Whatever he says to you, you'll misunderstand if you're anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What? You mean I got to be happy about this? I got to be grateful about this? You see, if you do prayer and supplication without gratefulness, God will speak to you and you'll hear it wrong. You'll hear it wrong. He said the words, but you heard the wrong words. You heard it. He said, wah, 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 wah. That's what you, but you heard, I hate him and I hate her and I'm going to get even for your sake. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. In other words, God is saying this: don't be anxious, be thankful, talk to me. I'll put that in English. Hey, listen, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious, be grateful. Come, let's have a conversation. No, don't just visit me. Come on, come with some supplication. Come before me, let's talk. Come on, let's have a relationship. Let's have a relationship. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, with Christ Jesus. So how do you know you're hearing God? There's a peace that surpasses understanding. If you don't have peace that surpasses your understanding's going to get in the way. God's voice always has a peace that surpasses understanding. So all those times that you thought you heard God and you didn't have peace, you heard, you just didn't know what he said. So don't be anxious. Okay, life is life. Life is easy. Life is hard. Life is young. Life is old. Life is complicated. Life is simple. Life is life. So don't be anxious. Remember this. You got a relationship with God. God's got a relationship with you. He's not leaving you. He loves you. Come on, let's talk. Have a relationship with him. Don't be anxious and trust. Watch. Trust him. Watch what happens. Look what's going on in your heart now. What's rising up in your heart now? A peace that surpasses your head. Okay, and then it goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Now, notice that peace guards your hearts and mind. Because if you don't have that peace, your heart and your mind is susceptible to hearing wrong things, seeing wrong things, and thinking that that's what God is doing. Okay? Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. No, you can't disconnect these things. Do you know what noble things are? Noble things are things that you do for the sake of others. So if you believe something is true, but it isn't to the benefit of someone else, if it isn't to the favor of them, that's not noble, so it can't be true. If I speak evil of somebody because I know they did something bad, that's not noble. So what's true? They may have done something bad, but here's what's true. God still loves them. So whatever's true, think on that. Whatever's noble, think on that. Whatever thing is just, what's just? Well, they're wrong and they deserve it. Is that the justice system that God used for you when you came to him? No, I'm good and I don't care if they deserve it. I love them. He made a decision for us based on who he is, not what we deserve. We want a justice system of right and wrong. That is not the kingdom of God. The justice system that God has is he forgives the unforgivable. He loves the unlovable. He shows mercy to those who do not deserve it. He loves even though people don't want it. He gives goodness and abundance to those who have poverty. Those who don't want riches, he's willing to give riches to. He makes decisions for others based on who he is, not what they deserve. He says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing when they do. That's his justice system. His justice system is not fair. He's unfair. That person who hurt you, he loves them. That's not fair. Your dad loves your brother. That's not fair. You're his best. And your brother, he's his best. That's not fair. How can he love them each as a one and only? He does. Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You want to hear God? Then think on these things. If you don't think on these things, you're not going to hear God. And then you wrestle and you get anxious and say, God, why don't you speak to me? Well, you're being anxious. He is speaking to you. You're not hearing. There's the peace of God is not surpassing understanding because your understanding is surpassing his peace. You're thinking on the wrong things. Your focus in life is wrong, so then your heart is not positioned right for the frequency of the voice of God to come through. He's talking, you're just not hearing it. You got to put your mind on these things. Put your mind on the things that are good. Let's look at another place real quick. Okay, we're responsible to exercise some things. I'm gonna give you some practicals that'll help you set your mind on those things. Because if you just try to set your mind on things that are noble and things that are true, and it gets hard. You go down the list, oh, I'm going to set my mind on this. So let me give you some practical actions you can take this week that will help you set your mind on those things so that the voice of God will break through in your heart and you'll get a testimony in your heart of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and you'll start hearing God in a way that brings life to other people. Because it has to do with barns and vats, not meeting your needs. Hearing God does not have to do with meeting your needs. It has to do with you meeting the needs of others, and He automatically meets your needs. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Okay, you ready? Practicals. You ready to do this week? Rejoice always. I got Monday, rejoice all Monday. Tuesday, rejoice all Tuesday. Wednesday, rejoice the whole day. Thursday, rejoice all day. Okay? When you go into the you go into the store and they treat you rudely, or you go to work and they misunderstand you, you do it right and they accuse you of doing it wrong, rejoice. Rejoice always. Okay, you ready? The next thing, this will help you think on the right things. Pray without ceasing. Oh, I tried to do that today, but I missed the hour. Shoot, now I got to wait till tomorrow. Well, what are you waiting for? Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. It's not a ceremony. It's not an obligation. It's a conversation. Are you walking down the street? He's not offended if you're walking. Are you on the toilet? You can open your mouth. Hi. He's not embarrassed. You think he took a break when you went in there? Pray without ceasing. He's seen you naked. He doesn't care. Have a conversation. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. This is good stuff. I want to hear God. Oh, God, I want to hear you. Rejoice always. Quit trying to hear God. Just rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Have a conversation. Have a face-to-face. It can be as simple as, that's it. Hi, God. God, you're awesome. Yeah, you're awesome. Consider something He created. Let it talk to you. The mystery of God is revealed in all of creation. Go consider a flower for a moment. Consider an ant. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day, and I said, oh, my goodness, this ant's got something five times his size. And he says, well, at least you're considering Scripture. I said, well, you are right. I am considering the ant. He's pretty awesome. Okay, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Okay, don't quench the Spirit. You know, you can do a wrong thing. I've told you before, like with a worship team, they can play the wrong song, they can play the wrong note, they can sing out of key, they can forget the words, they can fall down on the stage, they could pass wind, they could do all those things, and it wouldn't quench the Spirit. I know you've never done any of those things, but those things could happen. They won't quench the Spirit by doing any of those things. Have a bad attitude, and they'll quench the Spirit right like that. They could have a peeing accident, and they won't quench the Spirit. Come on, I'm just talking real life, people. Let's get real. Let's be human beings. We didn't come to church to get religious. We came to church as the church to be a testimony of relationship. Life is real. Why shouldn't life be real here? Yeah? So, don't quench the Spirit. My little grandson comes to me, lays down in front of me with a poopy diaper. I'm going to change his diaper. If I keep a good attitude, I won't quench the Spirit. If I get disgusted and complain why mama's not here changing this thing, I'm going to quench the spirit. Don't do that. Don't quench the spirit. I mean, life is, what's the big deal? We do some things we don't want to do. What's the big deal? We don't want to do them? Big deal. Don't quench the spirit. Let the river flow. Amen. Don't shut your heart down. Ha! Let the life of the Holy Spirit flow in you. Let something be coming off of you that's life. Okay? That was tough. You fell down. That hurt. Well, don't quench the spirit. Hey, don't despise prophecies. Okay, let me put that in modern English. Don't keep your mouth shut. Speak. Make a declaration. When things aren't good, declare that He is good. When things don't want to change, declare they're changing. Don't despise prophecies. I'm not talking about you getting some prophecy. That's greedy. I'm talking about you finally being the voice of God. He's the Word. You're the voice. Why are you so quiet? You hear me? He's the Word. You're the voice. He wants you to be an expression of Him. Don't despise. Don't have little or no use for it. Well, that's not for me. That's for the holy people. Excuse me, I thought you were holy. That's not for me. That's for prophets. Excuse me, I thought Holy Spirit was in your life. He's pretty prophetic. He speaks and life happens. Well, if you don't like prophecy, if you don't like that word, don't call it prophecy. Just call it opening your mouth. Don't have little or no use for opening your mouth and speaking what God says. If you're not sure what that is, make sure that you say something that you think it would be and it was going to be life-giving. If it's scriptural, don't put it in the mouth of the devil. Don't make it mean. You hear what I said? If it's scriptural, don't put it in the mouth of the devil. The scripture could, you know, the devil quotes scripture too. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off. It's written, He'll give His angels charge over you. That's scriptural. And then test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So our focus for hearing God is the kingdom of God. I've given you enough practicals just right there this week, if you'll just take a couple of those. Okay, your barns and your vats are the automatic thing that comes off of you for the life of others. It's not complicated. You're a one and only that were put on this planet Earth for the sake of all the one and onlys. And people are watching you. And hearing God is not so that you'll know what to do. Hearing God is a relational thing so that you'll know who He is. You'll know who you are. You become the substance of life in the earth. We need some substance of life in the earth. We need you. And so we need you just to focus on the kingdom of God. Don't focus on worry or being anxious. Position yourself. You'll be surprised. You hear God really well. You'll be surprised. It'll come as your thoughts. It'll come as your desires. It'll come as your imagination. It'll come as your strategy. When you're not expecting it, a plan will come into your heart. And you'll know it's God because it'll be life for somebody. It'll be life for you. It'll be life for others. It won't have a taking attitude. It'll be a giving thing because the kingdom of God is inside of you. Amen? Thank you so much.